It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number, wait for it, 300, entitled Tammy Stole My Answer. It was recorded on Monday the 1st of July, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I'm joined today by Michelle Frechette, also by Tammy Lister, and by Bowie Frankemer. It's a WordPress podcast, so guess what? We're going to talk about WordPress. First up, we talk about WordPress 6.5.5 and also 6.6, what's new, what's coming. Tammy goes deep into all the exciting things that you can do with themes. We spend a lot of time talking about an initiative to make it a lot more straightforward for volunteers to help sponsor WordCamp events. And I don't mean sponsor as in reach into their pocket, but to assist the enterprise of getting sponsors into things like WordCamp US, WordCamp Asia, and WordCamp Europe. We also talk about the fact that Corey Miller and Katie Richards have joined A2 Hosting as part of their endeavor to reach out into the community. Also, a potential snafu, WordCamp Europe next year in Switzerland conflicts with a major Muslim holiday. What should be done about that? We also get into a security-related incident where 5, well, maybe even 12 now, plugins on the WordPress.org repo have been distributing malware, much to the plugin author's surprise. And all of that is coming up on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. That moment when you realize you've forgotten to embed the chat onto your website, so that the chat won't work. And then you hurriedly go around YouTube and find the correct... Yeah, exactly, Tammy. So there was quite a lot of that going on. But nevertheless, loads of people have managed to make comments regardless of the fact that the chat wasn't... So that tells me that you're not going to my website. You're doing it on YouTube, which is fine, because I know they send out the emails and all that. But thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. It's episode 300.
Wow.
300. I'm going to say that again. It's episode number 300 of This Week in WordPress. I was going to celebrate in some way, and then I fell asleep on the couch about an hour ago. And so the most I've managed to do is color the word what in the show notes. Each letter has a different color. That's the extent of my energy into turning this into a significant episode. But I'm really pleased that we've got this far. You know, here's to the next 300. But as always, joined by three fabulous guests. First off, we got Michelle. Where is she? She's there. No, she's there. There she is. How you doing, Michelle?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, really, really, really nice. Very nice to have you with us once more.
Thank you.
So I'll just do the quick bios of everybody. Michelle Frechette is the Director of Community Engagement for Stella WP at Liquid Web. In addition to that work at Stella WP, Michelle is the podcast barista at WPCoffeeTalk.com, co-founder of UnderrepresentedInTech.com, creator of WPCareerPages.com, the president of the board for Big Orange Heart, director of community relations at PostStatus, author, business coach, and a frequent organizer and speaker at WordPress events. She lives outside of Rochester, New York, where she takes nature photography, and you can find her website, which is meetmichelle.online.
We got to update that. I got to get you my new bio. I'm executive director of Post Status.
I probably copied and pasted that from an old field in our...
No worries.
Yeah, you're right. But I didn't even spot it as I was saying it. But yeah, executive director of Post Status. That was ages ago as well. There's no excuse, Michelle.
I know. I mean, come on.
I apologize about that.
It's all good.
But very, very nice to have you with us. We're also joined by Tammy Lister. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good. We're going to have fun with Tammy's audio today. It's entirely possible that Tammy will go mute at various points because that's what's been happening prior to hitting the go live button. We'll see. These platforms are ever so fun. The bio that I've got for Tammy is much, much shorter. And it goes as follows. Product designer and creator. There's more than that. Come on, give us a little bit more. You don't have to, but do you want to give us a bit?
Yeah, I think that does. I like it's the summer. Let's go with short bios. But I'm super happy to be here. Thank you.
Short and sweet. Thank you very much. And first timer. And what about it? First timer on episode number 300. And it's Bowie. I want to say Bowie Frankema. How are you doing?
I'm very good. I had no idea I was dropping in the 300th episode, and I feel I should have something very substantial to contribute to this fantastic milestone of an episode, but we'll see. We'll see.
Didn't we tell you? Sorry, each of the participants has to give away a MacBook Pro on...
I'm not doing any meaningful work, so I'll just pass it along.
Draw one. You didn't say it was a real one.
Tiny one. Yeah, it could be an imaginary one. A little sticker of a MacBook Pro. He's gone off to fetch it. That'll do. Yeah, we'll take that. We got a WAPU instead. That's perfect. Bowie is the founder and head of product at Dolly, the growth platform for WordPress agencies. Go on. As it's your first time on the show, just give us the quick elevator pitch. What's Dolly?
Putting me on the spot, huh? No, it's a growth suite for WordPress agencies. So if you want to like do centralized management of all your clients and all your websites, and you want to basically move into growing your revenue as a WordPress agency, we got a whole suite of solutions, and we try to make it easy and accessible and fun to scale your WordPress agency. So that is the elevator pitch. We don't have to dive in any deeper because then the whole episode will be over.
That's right. Yeah. And we've got a lot of things to talk about. Okay, but thank you. What's the URL? Give us that bit.
Very good. It's getdolly.com, and it's with IE. And it's a bit of a reference to the first plugin for WordPress, Dolly.
Yeah.
So, inspiration. Yeah. And yeah, about me, I live in Berlin. I'm 37. Have a dog called Mocha, which is the love of my life besides my actual girlfriend. That's about it. I'm happy to be here.
Nice. Well, thank you for joining us. Hopefully it's the first of many times. We do tend to have people back on. Once they've been on once, they tend to come on repeatedly. I've no idea why, but I'm very grateful.
Must be a good experience.
Well, I hope so. It certainly isn't too intimidating. Few bits of housekeeping before we begin. First of all, depending on where you're viewing this, there's a few options, but probably the easiest thing to say is if you want to drive any traffic or indeed block out Tammy's face, then you could head to WP Build. Look at that. That's brilliant. Just perching up over the top of the caption. WPBuilds.com/live. Send people there. The YouTube the YouTube chat is embedded there. However, if you don't like that and you would rather just use an anonymized chat, you can do that by on the same page. If you go to the top right of the video, it says something like live chat. I can't remember exactly what it says, but you can use that so you don't have to be logged into anything. So send people there. I would be most grateful. That would be great. The other thing to mention is that... No, that'll do. I think that's probably all I've got to mention in that case. But we have a few people who've made some comments, so thank you very much. If for some reason the chat isn't working, then, you know, just keep persevering. Or sometimes we have a bit of a disconnect with what's on YouTube and what comes through to this platform. So I'll try to keep my eye on both. But here we go. So Nero, congratulations on show number 300. Here's to many more. Thank you. That's really kind. Birgit, who was on, Birgit Pink, this is not Birgit White. Celebration of 300. She's congratulating us on that. No, oh, that's nice. And Matt is joining us. Thank you. Second time listener, first time live stream watcher. Appreciate it, Matt. Hopefully it's the first of many more times. Bob Don, I'm guessing it's Bob. It's got to be Bob. He's given it. What is that? What is that? It's like a little emoji of a... it's a party.
It's the party emoji.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that. Courtney Robertson, good day. Bowie won't know about this. We always have weather reports at the beginning. No idea how it happened. Well, I do. It's Peter Ingersoll.
We do.
And it's his fault.
Definitely blame Peter.
It kind of started a trend. So here we go. The heat in mid-Atlantic states has temporarily lifted. It's 15 degrees centigrade, 60 degrees Fahrenheit, and it's breezy. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Da-da-da. Hey, Bob from Do the Woo. Let's celebrate our dear friend. No, I don't like the self-congratulatory stuff. Breaking news. BB Press just shipped an update, 2.6.11, led by JJJ. Is that, that's John James Jacoby, right? Have I got that right? Yeah, yeah, good. I didn't want to get anything wrong. Elliot, who lives down the road from me, he lives in Brid. I live in Scarborough, Scarbados, as we like to call it. Thank you for joining. I know, Tammy, I know, but that's what we do. And then Cameron Jones is coming all the way from Australia. Gosh. And here he is, the man, the myth, the weather forecaster extraordinaire. It's beautiful, sunny morning here in Connecticut. It's 21 degrees centigrade with low humidity and a bit of a breeze. Mostly sunny skies. Congratulations on 300. Thank you so much. And it keeps coming. 300 episodes, says Marcus Burnett. At least half of them have been... At least half of them have been really great. That's great. Thank you. Just kidding. I love starting my week with this show and all of these wonderful faces. Yeah, if you're in the UK or Europe, it's kind of Monday's all not quite over, but you're getting towards over. Whereas in the US, I am always surprised that a bunch of people tune in because it's like the first thing on a Monday morning. But there you go. And Marcus is giving us a little love heart instead. Fun fact, says Cameron. The first time I heard WP Builds was the 100th episode epic giveaway. Well done on getting to 300 live shows. Thank you. And Dennis joining us, main WP Dennis. Congratulations, Nathan. There we go. That's what we got for you so far. How do I make that go away? Tammy, we don't want that there the whole episode. No, there we go. Great, great, great. I don't know why, but the video embed on our website doesn't seem to be working. And that is not a problem of my creation. I think we might have some problem with the platform or something. So just head to YouTube and search for it on the YouTube channel over there. Okay, let's get stuck into what it is that we do. First thing to mention is this is our website, wpbuilds.com. If you want to stay up to date with the bits and the pieces that we do, typically this show on a Monday, which then gets repurposed, recycled, comes out on a Tuesday as a podcast and a video. Stick your email address in that little white box and then click the subscribe button. And then we'll send you two emails, one about this and one about the show that we do on a Thursday, which is a podcast episode. Quick thanks to our sponsors. Firstly, GoDaddy Pro. You can see there, they've been sponsoring us for many, many years, and I appreciate their ongoing support. We're also joined fairly recently, probably about a month ago, by Bluehost. So thank you for their new participation. And then joined this week, first week, by OmniSend. So thank you to them for helping us keep the lights on over here. I really do appreciate it. That's really, really remarkable. Okay, let's get stuck into it. So WordPress 6.5.5, it was a automatic release. Hopefully you got this. It was a security one. I don't really have a lot to say, except I quite like this sentence. This, it says here, this release features three security fixes because it is a security release. It actually, I've said it incorrectly because there's a full stop in the middle, but I read it that way when I first read it, and I thought it was quite funny. But here are the three things. There was a cross-site scripting vulnerability affecting the HTML API, and you can see the names of the people who've reported each of these things. There was another cross-site scripting vulnerability, which was affecting the template part block. And finally, a path traversal issue affecting sites hosted on Windows, reported by the people that you can see there as well. So apart from that, nothing much to say. Hopefully all of your websites got updated successfully and everything was smooth and easy. Bowie, Tammy, Michelle, you got nothing to add to that, have you? Or have you?
I'd like to say that the sponsorship that Jorben's getting has allowed a lot of this to happen. So I think that that's kind of kudos to all the people that kind of sponsor people that contribute to this. So the people that do security work, it's often, well, it's never seen, but it's incredible. Just kind of, it's all magic. And to watch this release, if you go back in and you just see the amount of testing that had to happen in this release, and the sheer amount of people that had to support. Like normally when you watch a release party, it's like a little bit of testing, right? But this is like so far back, it had to happen. And the intricacies of security releases is just mind blowing. That's the best way I can put it. So my hat is firmly off to everyone that was involved in this. So
yeah, well, thank you. Put that out there. Yeah, that's a nice thing to say. And I think it's always too easy for people like me to forget to commend people like Aaron for the hard work they do. So you're quite right. Thank you. On that point, actually, by pure coincidence, if you listen on Wednesday, if you go to wptavern.com. I have an episode coming out with Aaron Jorben all about minor releases and why they're more important. And he actually fully deep dives into the process of getting a minor release out because they don't often get the light that they deserve. And there's a lot going on. And So that's coming out Wednesday, about this time on Wednesday. Speaking of which, bit of personal news. For reasons unknown, the WP Tavern website has looked like it's been kind of dead for a long time. And I don't mean dead, you know, what's the word, you know, uncared for. No new articles have been coming out, except my podcast has been coming out every single week, relentlessly. And then to my nice surprise the other day, I went to the WP Tavern website and they've actually put the podcast on the homepage. So at least that kind of look, it looks like there's content getting refreshed, which is quite nice. So now I can just say, go to wptavern.com and you'll see the latest episode there. So yeah, go and do that. Bowie, Michelle, anything on 6.5.5?
Everything Tammy said, like there's nothing I would like to add. She started speaking before me. I was about to say the exact same thing. No, I'm just kidding. That we can't hear.
She stole my answer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I should not have shared my show notes with Tammy so that she could take all the credit from our insights.
You're going to learn the ways of this show soon. It's very cutthroat over here. But yeah, Michelle, anything to add before we move
on? Good. Bowie stole my answer.
Yeah. This is okay. So this is getting written down as the name of this episode. Tammy stole my answer. That's great. Okay, let me just stick that one. By the way, Bowie, that's what we do during the episode. Keep your ears peeled for a fun thing that somebody says, and I'll write it down, and it becomes the title. There you go. Tammy stole my answer in my neatest possible handwriting. There we go. Right. Okay. So quick hat tip then to Aaron. Thank you for all of your hard work, plus all the other people that were involved in that. Okay, so WordPress 5.5 has come around. WordPress 6.6 is on the horizon. And this came to my attention this week, and I haven't really had a chance to go too in-depth on it. So hopefully our panelists have had a little chance to look at various bits and pieces. But this is a field guide, an article which tries to encapsulate and summarize most of the stuff which we know about, which is coming up. So it's, you know, it's always a fairly long bit article, but it links out to all the other bits and the pieces on the Make website where things have been added. And just gives you some high-level thoughts on it. 299 core track tickets were included in this. It includes 392 enhancements, 462 bugs, fixes, 46 accessibility improvements for the block editor. And it encapsulates 17.8 to 18.5 of the block editor. And really, I think what we're going to concentrate on in this show, because it's Tammy's area of expertise amongst many, is the themes aspect to it. And if you're looking at the screen, you can see that I've highlighted a bunch of things coming around in themes. But Tammy, do you just want to peel back the curtain on this a little bit? It sounds like a fairly big release from a theme point of view.
Yeah, it is. I also wanted to call out something not listed there, which is one of my like side favorites, which is the site-wide background images. just because like the hacky things you had to do before. I think that's a really amazing thing. Just checking my sound's working
as well. It is. I can hear you.
And forgive the coughing. So I wanted to say, like, I think when you see the new version 3 of ThemeJSON, that's optional. And I think that needs saying before anything. You do not have to have ThemeJSON 3. You can choose to opt into ThemeJSON 3. You can just potter along as if you wanted to have it, if you want to support older versions. But what this is really doing is taking a lot of things that people had before in themes, either making them visible as settings, or just making it easier to do from section styles to presets. So presets is a good example of where maybe you had to have a global style before, just for colors or typography. You now can use a preset for that. Super cool, super fun. Again, using JSON files, but all of these things are things you were doing before in a maybe more roundabout way. You can now do in a more official, easy way. Okay. I guess that's the best way. And fun things like grid, but be gentle. Don't sneeze too near grid layout yet, because it's still kind of getting there and baking. And registering aspect ratios is something also. But there's hallway hangouts, there's videos, there's all these kind of supportive things to look at. And I would suggest kind of watching those and go through those first, because if you jump into something like grid layout without maybe watching a demo on it, you might, if you want to waste a few hours and get really deep, that's entirely your headspace, but maybe have a good soundtrack to do that.
Okay, so we'll come to some more specific things like the articles that I'm sort of putting on the screen now in a moment, but just roll down here. So there's a whole bunch of things, and there's a bunch of miscellany as well to do with the block editor and what have you. Interactivity API, it says it includes updates for the interactivity API, such as a new async directive, support for derived state props from PHP, integration with Preact DevTools, and new warning messages. HTML API, the update includes helpful maintenance release for the HTML API. The work includes a few new features and a major improvement to the HTML processor's usability. I guess this is fairly important. Hopefully everybody on this show, at least anybody watching the show, has not got this problem, but WordPress 6.6 drops support for PHP version 7 and 7.1. My suspicion is if it begins with a 7, stop using it. But anyway, that's a fairly big deal. So that's all of the bits and pieces from there. As always, I will link everything that we mentioned today in the show notes, which will come out tomorrow, so you'll get those. But then, Tammy, was there anything specific? You mentioned about this ThemeJSON version 3 where you could kind of opt into it. Was there anything specific in this article in which Alex Lend or Lendy, I don't know how you pronounce
it. Yeah, so there's some really good walkthroughs and steps. If you only want to support the latest, so if you're just experimenting yourself, I would encourage you to try it, because what it allows you to do is cut out a lot less code. And that's the kind of too long don't read on particular settings. So if you kind of scroll down some of the presets, rather than declaring them, you can use defaults. So a lot of defaults kind of came in earlier, and by changing this version, and it is a breaking change, but this breaking change is okay, needed to set the groundwork for easier things in the future. The thing is, you don't know what you don't know when you start on these journeys with the JSON files. And our very first version of JSON didn't maybe envisage, and it didn't, that we would have all the presets, and that JSON would become, we could hope and dream it could become the backbone that it is now. And if anyone has created using it, it's incredible. It really is to just be in that space. But there's so much, like our custom section is growing, and we are able to not do that by having more presets like this. So it's kind of really hallway hangouts are the best thing I can recommend for people who are starting to explore with this. And there's quite a few around themes, but just try using as many of the default settings in one of your themes. That's also one of my recommendations, because a lot of these things have those, and then you can add your custom kind of like scales and things. So you don't need to always do that. And that just means faster theme creation going forward, and then you can choose to override those if you want going.
I, I guess it also means a bit more of a, I don't know, more straightforward interface for end users of themes a little bit.
So the interface for the end users doesn't necessarily change. It's more that you have the option just to be able to not have to configure it from the start, and you just have good defaults that you can just spin up a theme. So it basically comes packaged with like underscores, to put it bluntly, and those packaging things to kind of hark back to the day are already baked in. That's the best way to kind of frame it. So you can just call on those without by one line, without having to like declare every single piece. But this is just for one section, and then kind of where things go. Don't have a crystal ball.
No, but
sometimes things need to be broken because you can't foresee where things are going to be when you start the journeys.
You can't even make an omelette, Tammy, without breaking eggs.
I mean, I'm a vegan, so you can just break the tofu.
You can't even make a vegan omelette without
bashing the tofu.
But here we go. So some default font sizes. So if you use the presets, you're going to get small, medium, large, extra large, extra large. And what I was meaning by what I said a moment ago, that's going to be easy for the end user, the non-experienced worker.
And it's just one line as well. Yeah. That's the thing. You don't even have to declare things now. So that's what I like about it is you don't have to declare it. But if you really want to dive in, you really want to get macro, you can then declare it, rather than you have to start off knowing these things to declare them before. So it's basically like the learning curve does get easier because you just have that line and it's set there by default.
The other ones, so there's some examples of it in the real world. Default spacing sizes, and the defaults are 20, 30, all the way up to 80 in increments of 10.
And that's just baked in. And Courtney kind of mentions about underscores, and that's the thing. Things like underscores used to have it baked in, and you'd have to get the theme and it would be baked in to be able to have it. You don't need that now because it just comes with that by just having that line decoration, which is also set. If you look at these default settings, is true. So these settings are already set there. You have to choose to go against them.
So making the life of theme developers just that little bit easier. So that's quite nice. And then there was this other one which was related. No, not that one. I think it was this one. I don't know if did you put this one in, Tammy? I think you did.
So this is developer hours, just sharing what's going on in theming. So this one in the grid. I don't remember this happening last release, but I love this. I may be the perfect audience, if you watch it, it's just basically here you go through section styles, presets, registering aspect ratios, which is also super fun. You can do your own custom aspect ratios. Amazing. And grid layout and specificity changes, which if you want to nerd out about CSS hierarchy, there's a section in there for you.
So it says here, WordPress 6.6 coming on the 16th of July. And as Tammy said, they talk about the major upgrades to the block style variation system, new color and typography only settings, the enhancements to the grid layout and core styles and more. Again, the link will be in the show notes, but if you want to Google it, you can Google WordPress.tv, and the thing is just go for developer hours, and it's what's new for theme developers in WordPress 6.6. So a lot is out there for theme developers, it would seem. Bowie and Michelle, anything to add to that? Cornucopia.
Michelle?
Tammy stole my answer.
Nice. This is perfect. Anything, Bowie? Or should we move on?
No, I'm not as deeply involved as Tammy. I think, and no one is as deeply involved as Tammy. I'm happy to see that there is just a bit of momentum here. And just to see Justin Tadlock be back is fantastic. He was like, he did Hybrid, I believe, which was a massive inspiration for me when I just got started with WordPress. So to see him back in this role, to see incremental improvements, and like what Tammy said about like theme.json, going back to the drawing board in some areas, trying to making it easier. That is, you know, as someone on the sidelines that do wants to see these block themes succeed and get WordPress a little bit back to how it used to be, with a lot of excitement to develop these themes, that will lead to products and a better ecosystem and happier users and happier developers. So I'm just happily following along on the sidelines, and kind of this is a good thing to see, because it was gone for a bit in my, you know, as an outsider. Well, part of the community, but outside of the core development team. So
yeah,
good stuff. I like it.
I know what you mean. I feel like themes kind of, I don't know, they weren't cool for a while. Everybody was talking about other things, but Tammy is here to bring them back into being cool again. So there we go. So as I said, everything will be linked in the show notes. Just a couple of things. Firstly, always nice to find a new audience member, Jamie Quiroz. Apologies, Jamie, if I've just butchered your name. Coming from Rockville. What's MD, Michelle?
Maryland.
Oh, okay. So hello, Jamie. Very nice to have you with us. And Cameron's showed up to give us a one-word appraisal of this show. I feel stagnant is what it. No, I think he was trying to help me out because I was trying to figure out a word for the tavern. Wasn't for
WT, wasn't. That's when that popped in. Yes.
Yeah, I like that more though. And then Courtney was talking about what were we talking about? The release back to 4.1. Oh, was that the 6.5.5 and Aaron's job in that? Okay. All right, let's move along. I'm not going to do that one just yet because it's quite in depth. So let's just quickly do this one. We mentioned earlier Aaron Jorbin and the work that he and the team have done to get the latest release out. This is the 6.6 release squad, which according to this came out a little while ago, but I just wanted to give a hat tip. Here are all the people who are going to be in charge of 6.6 coming down the pike. Some familiar names there. And again, it was just me trying to give a bit of a hat tip to the people who put in all the hard work. As we know, when a big release of WordPress comes out, all the names go inside the everybody's version of WordPress. So hopefully you'll be seeing lots of people in there. So there's that. No, we'll come back to that. Okay, so community sort of news. I'm sort of suspecting that if you are somebody in the WordPress space, maybe this is a little bit too straightforward for you, but it really presages a move in the learn.wordpress.org community for getting resources out there and bundling them up in courses and making them easy to access. This isn't brand new, but the reason I've got it is because it's finished. It's ready to go, and it's the beginning WordPress developer course. So if you are not a developer, if you're more of a tinkerer or a hobbyist or what have you, but you do fancy getting to grips with how to use a modern version of WordPress, this course will take you from zero to, well, I don't know how much of a hero, but it will get you through. So it's done in categories. So it's really encouraging you to do it on a local development environment. So overview of how WordPress works. So that's things like permalinks and what have you. Local development requirements, getting yourself set up there. Programming languages, a little bit of an overview in all of those. Theme development stack that you might want to use. WordPress hooks, kind of interesting. I can't read that language, but interesting that there is something buried in there in a different language. Developing themes is in there. I don't know if that'll stay up to date. Tammy will no doubt be able to tell us. Developing plugins, blocks, REST API, extending WordPress, and et cetera, et cetera. As of the moment, it's 273 people. I'm going to click the refresh and see if it's gone up. Ah, two more in the last 20, yeah, in about 20 minutes, that is. Keep clicking refresh and the enrolled learners just keeps going up. Anyway, I just wanted to give a massive, massive shout out to the Learn crowd. I feel that sometimes a lot of this work is hard to, how to describe it? It's hard to make, but then it's also hard to publicize that it exists because there's so much going on in the WordPress community. This is a big endeavor. And I just want to really just raise the alarm that this is out. So anything about that, Bowie, Tammy, Michelle?
I just think, sorry, Michelle, you were starting to speak.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just thinking it's like a massive undertaking. Like I've tried to do courses. Like I've done one for Dolly for our customers, and I thought, oh, it's not so hard. I'll just start writing and then I'll put it in a course, you know, and maybe get some help from ChatGPT, kind of make it make sense. And then I realized it's incredibly hard to summarize in my case, you know, a relatively small product, and then to see this course. The only thing for me as looking at this, it deserves more attention, right? Like it's kind of sadly tucked away under learn.wordpress. Like with all the resources that we have, if a team has spent so much time building a fantastic course that is so in depth, I just want an academy further, more modern, so that it doesn't feel like it's part of WordPress.org in the design sense, right? I would love to just have a dedicated LMS. I looked at the code a bit. I think it's using a Sensei. It's from Automattic. Go a bit further, because this deserves that, and it almost undersells the incredible value. And if you look at Squarespace, Wix, all those platforms, they have a lot of onboarding for developers and customers. WordPress needs that too, and it needs to be shiny and modern, and the content is there. So take this one step further, and this could be the entry point for any WordPress developer. So I love it. It's great work.
Nice. Yeah, that's a really good point. The marketing of it, I think, is really difficult to achieve, because obviously there's, at the moment, I don't know anything about budget or, how many automation hours are put into this and all of that. But I think you make a good point. Another nice thing, of course, in the modern era of WordPress is just things like this little button, which reads Practice with WordPress Playground. And if you haven't come across Playground, what the heck? It's total voodoo. You click a button and there's WordPress right in your browser. Can you imagine in a year or so that just every single one of these little lessons, you'll be able to click the practice with? Maybe it is already done in that way, and I apologize if it is, but learning about, I don't know, PHP or something, and it launches a perfect encapsulation of what they're trying to tell you inside that exact specific lesson inside the browser, including, custom posts and pages already pre-written with the content inside of it. LMSs in Playground are going to be a really, really interesting experience. So, anyway, there we go. That's an aside. Michelle, it sounded like you wanted to say something.
Well, I'm just a little concerned that the average days to completion being one is going to make me feel really stupid when it takes me at least 10 days to get through this.
That's a good
point. It
looks
like a lot for one day, but
that's a good point.
Where that's coming from.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about it, and I may actually do a couple of those courses just to get a feel for it. So
the nice thing about the fact that there's no, there's no paywall around it or anything like that is you can just drop in and drop out, can't you? You just, you fancy just learning about, the word installing WordPress or HTML and what have you. The other thing that I would add to this, goodness knows how difficult it's going to be to keep this up to date because of the changes that are happening in WordPress. So if we just took the theme development bit, obviously, Tammy's just pointed out a whole bunch of stuff which, in here might have to change. But even things like the HTML spec, which is constantly undergoing changes and what have you. So there's that concern. One of the nightmare things, I think, is creating content which you can't allow to go stale. But hopefully people can keep this going. So, Tammy, anything to add?
I think, it opens up to if you're just from a hiring perspective, we're all amazing and we're all incredible, but we kind of presume that everyone knows how to use WordPress, and there are incredible developers that don't know how to use WordPress, and being able to have them empowered to take those skills and apply them to WordPress is interesting. So I'd be curious whether some of if they knew PHP, whether it's the WordPress PHP and different things like that, the kind of interpretation. And I've been in agencies where that definitely is the case. They're incredibly skilled, but the kind of knowledge transfer that they have to do, interpretation. So I think there's just such a place for that. And a lot of agencies have that as part of their onboarding. So being able to offer this course rather than having to kind of add extra courses or kind of having to write your own course just empowers people as well, or just adding it in as part of the mix. I know it says for developers, but I've also found that a lot of the Learn resources are really good for people who are in product or even selling WordPress in agencies, because they get to understand what WordPress is in a really kind of powerful way as well. So Learn is just a great resource. Cool stuff.
Kind of interesting. I just clicked on one of the links and just went in on the very first, one of the first items in the entire course. You can see it's the top one here. And so here's the LMS structure of it. And you obviously get the video itself, which interestingly is on YouTube, which is kind of nice, I guess. So there must be publicly available. I mean, all of this must be publicly available to just consumers of YouTube, which is quite nice. I don't know quite how it's organized over on the YouTube side, but you know, you can see a lot of work has been put into this. That's lesson number one. And at this point, I'll just raise Courtney's comment. So she says, well done, training team, and Jonathan Bossinger, who's an automatician on the beginning WP dev course. Can't wait to see the site refresh rolling out later this month. Oh, I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, so we'll have a more modern take on it. Yeah, I had forgotten. Thank you. Michelle, I have a bunch of days. I have a hunch, sorry, that day's completion will change when more people complete.
Yeah. Otherwise, right now, it looks like 275 people completed it in one day.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Okay. And Courtney also says, I think the completion score are for the early testers of these courses.
Yeah, sure, so maybe
the early testers have got skin in the game. There's a post on the Courtney, thank you so much. There's a post on the training team seeking feedback about what content the team would update every release or not. Please give feedback. What would your thoughts be on that? Every release seems like a bit of a burden, but equally, if you don't do it every release, quite a bit of that stuff will go out of date. I mean, it would be lovely to have the notion that this was always up to date, but I mean, you'll know, Bowie, if you've got a product, it's just, you know, you develop a new feature and suddenly you've got to change like 18 knowledge-based documentation pages, and keeping up is a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, but
I stopped teaching WordPress in 2019 when Gutenberg came out, because I would have to change the entire course that I created. And even though I know Gutenberg now, I was like, yeah, I just never got back into it, because changing and updating coursework is a behemoth of a job. Absolutely. Sorry, Bowie.
No, exactly. I was about to say the same thing. And it's also, I think what Courtney also kind of outlines, that there's a pretty good vision. There's a new website coming. There's a structure in place to update the course when it needs to be updated. I think that will only get better, right? So what I was thinking, what Tammy referred to, like, I would like to see, just looking at how people, the time they have to learn stuff these days, it might be a bit intimidating. It's what the joke Michelle made, right? Like, oh, I'm intimidated by the one day completion. I would probably have that same sense. Like, if everything is at some point stable and we figured out, okay, this is actually a good resource, I would like to see potentially by doing some splitting up of lessons or making lessons a little bit more generic, you can repurpose the same lesson for different audiences very quickly. So you can kind of mix and match individual lessons and say, hey, this is the agency onboarding course for WordPress. This is the developer onboarding course. This is the absolute beginner, you know, end user. So I just see a lot of potential here. And I would love to see the redesigned version of this coming out. And then I hope, but that's my personal kind of opinion, maybe a little more granular, like smaller courses that could be offshoots of this big course, if maintainable, would be fantastic as well.
I think one option could be things you should know in the latest release. And that's like a good, that's something that constantly, and yes, we do have the field notes. Yes, we do. But being able to like have a section on Learn where you go and you can take like a test. And I like tests. I'm weird. where you can go through, that could help everybody. Mm. There are the workflows and, you know, AI, but it's a workflow that you can do for updating screenshots and find and replace now that do help with releases, as opposed to like the old manual way that we used to have to do it. So I think there is an easier way to update things, but every release having to update all the documentation, particularly with data views and the design system changes coming, could be a little bit of a task going forward if we don't have some automation behind that, which I imagine we will do.
Gosh, honestly, I'm just clicking about inside this course, which I confess I didn't do prior to starting it. The more I look at it, the more profoundly impressed I am. We are really, really fortunate to be in a community where this kind of stuff is going on, because, you know, it doesn't have to happen. Nobody is required to do this. And yet here it is, just gratis for free. In this case, done by Bossinger, who is an automatician. So I don't know what the, you know, what the financial constraints around that are, but amazing, absolutely amazing, and a great help to anybody. Positioning WordPress,
regardless of that person or he is working for Automattic, there's obviously a lot of care and I would say almost love in describing this, because like you say, like that's the thing. You start like, oh, let's make a beginner development course. But in this case, you can see you're going to be starting from the absolute, assuming that the developer knows nothing in the best sense of the word. So that is where the tension, that like final 10, 20% for someone to actually understand, that's often the stuff that's usually skipped because we cannot go back to that state. It's like, you know, VCR manuals, remember? Like you had a DVD player or a VCR and then it was completely, you know, it was just, could be a different language. You had no idea what was going on because all the stuff was skipped. And that's why you ended up with like 500 pages. It seems like what's happened here is just a fantastic, really smart way of taking the time to explain all the components. And then you can just choose to skip a couple. But yeah, fantastic, really.
I was lucky enough at WordCamp Europe to chat to somebody, and I'm just trying to remember. It wasn't Eneco, it wasn't Riyadh, who was it? I've forgotten the name of the person, but it was somebody who is highly active in the Nigerian WordPress scene, particularly in schools. And they've made WordPress a part of the curriculum, you know, the actual school curriculum, because they can draw a line between employment and this free open source, easy to download piece of software. You know, they can see that if they put some time in with children at school, that they can have a credible job which is not bound by the constraints of geography or anything like that. And so things like this, just imagine the profound impact it could have on, you know, people's lives from different parts of the world. I mean, you know, could put it in front of my children or a child from almost anywhere. I guess there's the constraints around the language, and I don't know quite how that will be done. Maybe it'll get translated into different languages. But honestly, like a career could come out of something like this, which sounds a little bit grandiose, but I hope
you get the intent. I'm also really curious the other end, you know, returning mum who wants to go back to work or something could train in this at home, or people who maybe have lost their jobs could be able to get a job by training for free, because boot camps are super expensive. Like, have you seen the cost of like development boot camps?
They
just don't, like the finances aren't there to support people, but being able to do this. And if you think about how most of us got started way too long ago in WordPress, it was by hacking and learning Kubrick and all those kind of things because we had access to it. So sharing that knowledge is in the DNA. So that's kind of like super gets me excited, you know, someone who's long-term ill, been able to empower themselves to get a career by this information. It's both ends of the spectrum, right? Kind of age-wise and anywhere in between.
Courtney, I've dug out the name. It was Abraham Waiter, W-A-I-T-A. He's an automatician. He's on the Woo. He's a Woo support engineer, but he's big into the communities of two countries. And it's a fascinating story. It'll be out on the tavern in a few weeks. But thank you for that, Tammy. I think you're right. It's profound. It's pretty cool that you can have yourself a job. It looks like all of us are at home. Maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like all four of us are in a house somewhere.
Is a shed in a garden.
Good. Where do you work? Shed in a garden. Isn't that great? I'm in an attic, basically. It's absolutely brilliant. So we're very lucky to have all of this stuff. Right, okay. All right, we were just talking about WordCamp Europe, at least I was. And I think this is a really interesting idea. It's by somebody called Crixu, C-R-I-X-U. It's on make.wordpress.org, released on the 21st of June. So it's a little bit older than a week, but I didn't spy it. So here it is. And it's called Proposal for a Unified Sponsorship Initiative. And I'll just read the sort of headline item. It says, this proposal aims to enhance support for WordCamp organizers by forming a task force focused on streamlining sponsorship efforts, ensuring sustainability, and improving the overall sponsor experience. This is not intended to diminish the autonomy of WordCamp organizers, but to offer them additional resources and help and support. So this is specifically aimed at flagship WordCamps at the moment. So that's the intended audience here. One of the biggest issues with becoming bigger, and they mentioned prior to that, the fact that, you know, WordCamp Europe in particular is just truly huge. One of the problems of becoming bigger is the need for more money and therefore more sponsorship activity, whilst relying on the work of volunteers to organize this. Selling all the required sponsor spots gets harder and harder from year to year due to inflation and corporate consolidation. And so the here's a summation of a few of the problems that a new tranche of volunteers may face. What companies should they approach? How do they reach them? Is there a list for that? What sponsorship packages even exist? How can we make sponsorship that's sustainable? How to even approach this topic, how to handle global sponsors, and so on. So in the worst case, the whole team is different from year to year, relying on solely on the documents of the previous year. And so this proposal is to create a small task force inside the community that supports sponsorship teams. And this would focus just on, as I said, the three flagship events, that's US, Europe, and Asia, trying to make there to be some sort of consistency, some structure, some team. And I can imagine if I was volunteering and I ended up in the sponsorship area, I'd be pretty intimidated off the bat, to be honest, with all of the amount of hard work that you need to do. There's actual money involved and you're promising things in return for actual money. And so I think this is a really, really neat idea. And obviously you can go to this post and make a comment. A few people have, but I just thought that was a really neat idea so that there was some continuity between all of these flagship events. So over to the panelists, if they've got anything they want to add.
I do a lot of events, as you know, and I'm a mentor for WordCamps, and I also have been an organizer on various levels. And I think having some basic guidance like that, even for the smaller local camps, is really helpful. Also, like just having a list of companies maybe you're not supposed to approach because they, you know, somebody said to me, oh, can I ask, I can't remember what company it was, and I'm like, well, they're a global sponsor, so you can't ask them for more money. That's, you know, there's a limit to how much we can ask certain sponsors. And getting local sponsorship is always the goal. But also, you know, most of us are not fundraisers. We're not, you know, putting together events isn't our primary business for sure. And even if we have a lot of experience, there are things that just are either more uncomfortable, more difficult, whatever it is, given your own set of skills and how small some of the local organizing teams can be. Last year, I had an organizing team of 2.5 people. And the half was because he had to quit halfway through organizing the event. So there were two of us that put on entire WordCamp Rochester, which is only about 70 people. So it was small, but I still had to raise the money. I had to get the venue. I had to have all of the paperwork signed back and forth. You almost become the conduit between the venue and WordCamp.org because you can't sign anything. You have no authority to do that, but you still have to do all the legwork to get it done. And then you sit and you wait and you're hoping that people are, you know, at the other end will do things quickly. And so, and that's just one small part of it. The sponsorship then is huge, right? Because you have to raise money to be able to do these things. And we can't charge exorbitant fees to attend. So it does become this very big, how are we going to get this kind of thing done? And it feels very daunting, especially when you're working a full-time job and trying to organize an event on the side. So anything we can do like this that helps and gives guidance, I think, is a good thing. Sorry, I'm on my soapbox.
No, I think that's really interesting because you've already raised a couple of things which my intuitions hadn't figured out. But one of the things that you said is that it's not everybody's got this, oh, I don't know, sales mentality, for want of a better word. Right. I'm encapsulating that
skill
wrongly.
Set, yeah.
Right, yeah. And when conversations about money come around, I just turn into this like little, you know, former version of myself. It's just not something I'm really into. And
a lot of people who are introverts in our business, right? So they're not comfortable necessarily cold calling anybody anyway. And then you also have people like me who have certain kinds of executive dysfunction. Like, I can order a pizza online, but don't make me call a pizza store, because like that's an anxiety thing for me, even though that sounds really silly, right? But cold calling a company who's, even if they're a word company going, hey, you want to give us some money to hold this event? Even though I worked for Give for years in fundraising, right? That's not my skill set. My skill set is other places. And so you have to have somebody on the team who's willing to make those kinds of calls, but they need guidance too, because 10 to 1, they're not so ingrained as some of us are to understand how to navigate these conversations.
I would also argue it also goes the other way around. Like if you're a small product creator or a small company, and you, like, for example, we would probably sponsor smaller WordCamps if we would have the resources to have, like, oh, we have, you know, community marketing builder, but we have one sales guy on our team. So for us to be in a directory where we could say, hey, we are open for sponsorships.
Huh.
And then, you know, someone from an organizing team, which might be smaller, it's like, hey, Dolly seems to be, you know, a small company. Maybe they want to do a micro sponsorship, right? So for me as a product builder, I immediately see just give a potential sponsor, give them an account, and just have, like, you know, like a dating site. Like, I'm open for sponsorships, you know, and then the organizers log in and they're like, oh, let us collect a couple. Some of them that have the resources that are like big and established, like we sponsor everything, right? We just want our name on any WordCamp, and that's great. But then there's probably also a lot of smaller ones where I could go to my team, like, hey, we can sponsor, you know, a local US event. We can sponsor a local European event, a local Asian event. Let's all pick one. Maybe one of our team members that is remote can actually go there, and everyone wins. And to also go back to what was said before, it's like the charm and the reason why I love WordCamps is because money is always in the background. It's almost always the last thing, sponsorship. So it's ridiculous if you go to something like CloudFest, where everything is, you know, in the end, you know, for networking, to make money or to spend money. And then you go to a WordCamp and it's night and day. Even WordCamp Europe, at no point you feel it's not a community event, but a commercial event. It's like, it's not even in anyone's kind of, you know, maybe if you're networking to make a relationship with something or someone, but the feel of a WordCamp is completely non-commercial. And that's also why maybe sponsorships, which are increasingly important, it's not their first, well, they're probably last on the line of motivational things for people that want to join organizing a WordCamp, if you know what I mean. So that needs to be made easier. So I think it's a great idea.
I'm going to make a prediction. My prediction is that by this time next month, Michelle will have built a directory website to do with getting
the pressure.
Sponsors.
The pressure.
We'll be together, Michelle. I'd be happy
to combine like exactly what you said, the double-ended marketplace of sponsors, events, to just combine those two things together. Because that, honestly, I hadn't even made that connection, Bowie, but that's really interesting. So easier for you to sign up in one place and say, I don't know, we can put people in Europe. We can send people to European events, but we're not going to North America. We're not going to Asia. And we'd be interested in events of this size and up, and we're open for the whole of 2024. Yep. You know, those kind of little caveats. And then that's just easier for you, right? You're suddenly like contactable.
Everyone wins. Yeah.
Is Marcus Burnett still listening? Because this would be a great feature on the WP World.
Yeah. Okay. If he's not, I bet Courtney will tag him. That's
I would also argue maybe just making an official like WordCamp thing, right? Like have something like sponsors.wordcamp.org. And that would be, you know, the sponsors hub, where, you know, the organizers and those, you make your account once, you tell, you know, you maybe, like I said, you give, maybe you could even make it as transparent as you want. You can say, we can sponsor two events and we've done one, or just as simple as a checkbox, like we are open for sponsorship proposals. And then they will come into your inbox. Like we would use that with Dolly. We'd love that.
And I guess the churn of the volunteers is one of the big problems here, isn't it? If the events in I forget where WordCamp Europe 25 is. I've already forgotten. Where's that?
Basel.
There you go. It's Switzerland. Yeah. So if the organizing team in Switzerland is quite likely to be largely different from the organizing team in Turin. I mean, by coincidence, they're actually fairly close geographically. So that might not be the case. But if it was, say, Spain and then Poland or something like that, the overlap's going to be quite small. And so everybody's got a start from a complete standing start. So the sponsor people have got to learn who to contact, learn how they can contact, and what have you. And I'll just put this proposal back on the screen quickly, because here's the idea. Would be to this team, this whatever it is, would talk about the sponsor. Whoa, crikey. Would talk about sponsoring itself, what that would mean, the sponsorship life cycle, and then support for sponsor teams, and then setting up, the usual SOPs, tools and processes, and those kind of things. One thing's for sure, those lovely events that we all attend, they will not happen without sponsorship. And so making that process as easy as possible will free up the time from all of the volunteers to do other things that they might want to do. And look, as if by magic, Mr. Burnett says it sounds like a good idea. You heard it here first, but Bowie gets the credit.
I don't. I think if you go up a little bit, on the basis, first of all, CRM of up-to-date. So I think the person who wrote this proposal gets the credit, because I just reacted to the brainstorming session. This person obviously has a very good grasp of what needs to happen. So I hope that this proposal will become like an official component of what we just discussed. So I don't want to take any credits here. This is definitely, I'm happy to take the credits, but I don't think it would be fair. So
here we go. So Steve joining us, Steve, says, yeah, the person is Lucas, who was a member of the sponsor team at WordCamp this year. And then we got a surname as well, Lucas Radka. Birgit Olsen is telling us, so perfect. And was also,
I'm seeing a different event here, and I think that kind of says it used to just be like there was just WordCamps, right? Or particularly like WordPress people went to sponsored WordPress events. Now there's outside, there's so much you can sponsor, and you have to look as a business, particularly the smaller business, and particularly in the economic environment, where your money goes. And I think that's also part of it. So having a unified that kind of team helps with that, helps with the messaging, helps with finding what kind of the right sponsors for the right events.
Yep.
Because it may be that you are not the right sponsor for a flagship, and you are not going to get return, and that is totally groovy. It might be that you are the right sponsor for a particular event on a particular thing. And that could be incredibly good for your business. And those are kind of the things which I think, looking at the lens of particularly from a product perspective, we just get better as an ecosystem if we find the right sponsors for the right spaces. Otherwise, people are just going to sponsor big events and just not see the returns that they want or need. And then that also doesn't give the right event. So it's kind of like you can't overpromise, as you were saying, like it's... but I also wanted to flag, there is a handbook that is being created over the years and handed down through generations and generations of WordCamp Europe and big flagship event people. So there is information, but there's in these silos. So by all these people sharing it, they're sharing all that information from WordCamp Europe, from WordCamp US as well. So that can only be good. I would like to see it for other teams as well, because I think these flagship events, there's so much information to be passed on. And I say that from someone that kind of was there at the beginning and saw kind of some of the roots. And I can only imagine how big those trees are now.
So thank you for all of your contributions. This has been interesting. And then Cameron makes an interesting point, which actually completely wipes out Michelle's face. So sorry about that, Michelle.
It's okay.
Cameron says, I would love to see something in the vein of WP Speaker, WP World, but rather than just WordCamps, non-foundation events like, so that just for clarity, I organized something with Anshan LaRue called the Page Builder Summit, and Cameron's mentioning that, just as important to the community. So that's interesting. So stepping outside of just the WordPress specific events, so word camps,
and it may be that you need to do that for your product at the particular time of its growth, and that's okay. Andrew's also got some interesting comments that kind of a tangent to that as well.
Andrew Palmer, let me just make sure that I'll just take that off, and then Michelle's not being hidden by it all. It's Andrew Palmer joining us, says, I must have received 100 or so emails, connection requests, etc. from WordCamp Europe sponsors and attendees. It's getting much more commercial behind closed doors. What do you mean by that, Andrew? Do you mean you were sort of inundated to the point of being sort of slightly, it's too much? Is too much of a deluge? What were you meaning there?
Andrew, that I sent 98 spam emails.
And I did the other two.
If you discount those 98.
I think you got 102 because two were mine as well.
Mine must have been in spam.
Also, those 300 business cards of Dolly I sent to you, that was a mistake. I'll agree. Yeah. Sorry.
This is ideal. Maybe it's time to admit WordCamps need to take a nod from the CloudFest to get more sponsors and allow them to commercialize it. Yeah, this came up, didn't it? I feel it was like a couple of months ago, something about what do sponsorships, what can be allowed within sponsorship at WordPress events. Things like, I don't know if you noticed, but at WordCamp Asia, right at the end, the sponsors all had this little moment where they could go on stage and give away the prizes that they'd been offering in their booths. And it was kind of nice to round the event off like that, because it ended on a bit of a high. It was a bit like it was a bit like something you watch on telly, a bit of a game show kind of feel to it, where the people in the audience were getting excited because they had a chance of winning things. So mucking around with it a bit like that. So the opposite intuition from Andrew. He was pleased to receive them. Okay, got it. Good. Sorry. Yeah.
Great. Happy to hear that.
So I just put in the chat, Nathan, the WordCamp US is doing something kind of working in that direction with their showcase day, where if you have created a product or something, I can't remember exactly how it's said. One moment.
That's okay. I can put it on the screen.
Yeah.
Here we go. This piece.
The breadth
here?
Of possibilities. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is the extra day, right? This is day four. Yeah. I think it's day two of the schedule.
Something
but
like that. Yeah.
It's a fourth extra day. I haven't really got my head around what this is. Can you sum it up, or are you?
Basically, like what it says, what a showcase day, it's opportunity to see the breadth and possibilities of what WordPress offers, from high profile, large scale projects to niche creative implementations. So kind of following on the NASA keynote last year and the technical workshops that they had, they want to be able to show a little bit more. So you're allowed to have some branding on it, because how can you create, show something that you created without it? So it's a little bit more in the direction of businesses, but at the same time, it isn't saying, hey, sponsor, and you get this stage. But it's kind of blending a little bit more of what it looks like to be a business within WordPress.
Right. So it gives you an opportunity to show your stuff, but maybe without just all of the commercial bits and pieces that you might get on a television advert, for example.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. And then Katie Keith joining us, saying, I didn't receive as many as Andrew, but for WordCamp Europe this year, I was surprised at how many sponsors contacted me beforehand asking me to visit their booth. That never happened before. Yeah, I get the impression that a few companies out there go and scrape the attendee page, don't they? And so you often get like a slew of tweets 2 or 3 days before saying, what you're doing and what have you. I guess that can be viewed in two ways, can't it? That could be unwanted, but also if you are turning up to network, it could be great if somebody makes the effort to reach out to you like that. And then Courtney says, Bowie, what I hear is that you should send you should send Andrew more emails and a business card. I think we should make this is everybody's constant study, is to deluge Andrew Palmer with spammy sponsor emails.
I'm just saying to Andrew, create a PO box as we speak.
That's a quick one.
I'm not a developer, but I'm sure Tammy could write some code to make that happen easily.
Really make his life really fun. So he's back. I had a chat, Bowie and I had a chat, to not send stuff, any more stuff. Okay, got it. And then, this is Bowie. That's his comment. So there we go. Too late. Just sent a batch of cards and T-shirts. Coming your way, Palmer. I hope you had a nice time on holiday, by the way. I hope you enjoyed your time where you went, which was quite nice. Me and Tammy sat with Andrew Palmer in the airport on the way home, and spread
late.
The COVID joy. Whilst...
She wasn't the only one who got it.
Did you escape it, Andrew? If you did, then you're getting the right kind of stuff through the mail.
It's the only souvenir I bring back consistently from work.
Maybe this episode should be called Spread the COVID Joy. No, maybe not. Okay, moving on. That was a really interesting subject, though. Honestly, fascinating. I think that's a great initiative, a great idea, and make that whole process a whole lot easier. Okay, back to community news. This time, certainly one face familiar to me, but I think two familiar faces. This is to say that Corey Miller, and do forgive me because I don't know the other person. Katie Richards. They have a new role. Up until, I'm going to say about a year ago, Corey, was he the executive director at Post Status before?
He's the owner.
Yes. Okay. Well, that was where my interactions with Corey were at least focused. That's what I knew him for. But he's taken on a new role at the hosting company, A2 Hosting, and along with Katie Richards, they're starting up this thing called the Community Growth Team. So I just thought I'd mention that. I don't know a great deal about that team or A2 Hosting.
Corey also founded iThemes, so Corey goes back quite a ways. And Katie has worked with her husband... is it Brian Richards? I think. Yeah, Brian, sorry. Who does Woo Sesh and Word Sesh, I think. That's their project as well. So Katie's got a lot of experience, and she's also one of the leads for the photo mods over at the photo project at WordPress.org.
Okie dokie. Anybody want to add anything to that? Nice little bit of community news. Okay.
I'm happy that... after what also, from my perspective, quite a bit of silence in where I felt like hosting companies were very busy acquiring, not actually contributing, and trying to basically have a better relationship with their customers. And to have such big names with such a good track record to start this community initiative. Like, of course, we have to see if it's an actual community initiative or something else. Like, you don't know the intent of exactly why this has been started, like, to be completely kind of neutral. But I think it's a good sign that big hosting companies are like, okay, we're going to have a community outreach program or success team or anything in that vein. I think that's exciting because I think there's a lot to be gained from hosting companies getting more involved in WordPress. Of course, there's plenty of hosting companies that already do. I'm not trying to say that they're not doing anything. I mean, there's a lot of WordPress hosts. Well, a lot of hosts doing WordPress stuff. They have to, because it's the only market that's still growing in the hosting industry. Like, I learned that at CloudFest, that there is actually, every type of hosting is stagnating or going down, and WordPress hosting is still growing. So this makes a lot of sense, and it's also great to see actually well-known people that we all know and love for what they've done in the WordPress community to be part of this, right? So it feels genuine, or else they would not have taken that position. So I'm really curious to see how this plays out. So
yeah, it's kind of interesting putting boots on the ground and people who've got that history, relationship. I want to use the word like notoriety. No, that's not the word I'm after. Something akin to trust is what I'm trying to encapsulate, but the word won't come into my head. But a trusted member or members of the community. And the idea of this team is to make connections, obviously. You know, they've got to presumably justify their existence in terms of revenue and things like that, but also build a community and create lots of nice WordPress-related content. So putting a human face, a recognized human face, on the front of your hosting company. So bravo. Anybody, Tammy, is there anything you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, to me, that focus seems really awesome on agencies, which it's hard, particularly being an agency in the environment at the moment. So I think any focus on that is pretty smart as well. Andrew's got a really good word for you.
That's the one.
There you go.
Authenticity. That was.
And I think it's really interesting. So often when we hear community, we think one thing. In here, both community can be the community of the people using your product as well. And that maybe is what I'm reading a little bit more here. It's the community of the people using the product, which is incredibly important and feeds back into the community of WordPress as well. So I'm really curious, because as the community of their product grows, the community of WordPress is going to grow as well. So I'm kind of excited where that goes.
Nice. Getting quickly back to COVID, you know, here we go. Birgit was with us quite a lot during WordCamp Europe. She says she didn't catch the Rona at WordCamp
Europe. I'm surprised. I'm happy
though. A bunch of time with you all. Only nasty bug bites. Oh, yeah.
I got both.
Much sympathy over there. And then Andrew Palmer saying, I can see more and more of this happening at larger WordPress-related businesses. Good luck to Corey and Katie. Yeah, it's interesting. I can't put my finger on, not immediately out of my head anyway, of something quite like this. So that's certainly, I thought that was eye-catching. Okay, the fun news. Oh, no, not this one. Let's do this one first. Here we go. This is, first of all, another community piece. And this is from Jewel, he likes to go as, but Shahajan Jewel, who released a letter just a few days ago about WordCamp Europe and the collision of dates. So Jewel, if memory serves, is coming out of Bangladesh. And I'll just read the salient sentence here. It says, as you may be aware, Eid al-Adha, one of the most important religious holidays in the Muslim calendar, falls on the same dates as the planned WordCamp Europe 2025 in Switzerland. This overlap poses a serious conflict for Muslim attendees, including myself. And there's a lovely little sentence just down here, and it goes like this. Imagine the scenario where a flagship WordCamp is scheduled on December the 25th, Christmas Day, all of the conflicts that would cause. And so he's, by the sounds of it, he would welcome a change of calendar dates. But there's obviously all the stuff in there. He understands being a creator of WordPress events. He's an organizer at where various WordCamp local events and things like that. Has the realization that, you know, things like booking rooms and all of that does cause problems. But it is kind of interesting that there was that collision, and that collision didn't get spotted. And again, talking to Aaron, as we were mentioning Aaron Jorban a bit ago, when he was talking about the minor releases, this is one of the things that he mentioned, was they don't put a minor release out on a date. So they all get the calendars out and make sure there isn't some sort of major religious holiday, so that people, you know, if their website breaks because WordPress is automatically updated in the background, that wouldn't be a date when a release would occur. And yet this one seems to have slipped through the net. I don't know how to square this circle. I imagine it's going to be very, very difficult to unpick what's already been set in motion. You know, the event, the date, the publicity, the actual venue. Presumably, you know, sponsors are already on board and things like that. Maybe a bunch of people have booked airline travel already. But I guess it's just a bit of a, can we bear this in mind for next time? So again, over to you, the panel.
I think it happened before as well, two years ago.
Gosh.
So that's why I can completely emphasize with the frustration there. And I think what was said by someone on the team of this year is like they had an incredibly limited window of when it needs to happen. And then they only had this specific venue available for this specific date. And that was their only option. So I'm not sure if they overlooked it. I'm sure I cannot speak on any of the. That was just what I saw. It's like they find it probably incredibly unfortunate. And I mean, if it was up to me, like everyone should be able to attend. And like the Muslim community who are like, why are you doing this at this weekend? Because it's literally one of our most important celebrations of the year. I would be just as annoyed and probably less friendly than how this person worded it. They did a fantastic job in making the case. I'm just afraid that that it's too late now, right? Mm. I hope next year, or maybe then consider like maybe those 2 weeks, because I think it often falls in the exact same time, right? Like it's it maybe a better time of year where this simply cannot happen, that window of when the event needs to take place should be considered, you know?
I could be wrong, and I probably am wrong, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think the Islamic, for want of a better word, calendar, is it a lunar calendar? So does it move throughout the year?
I think it does change. I don't think it's a set day.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be like December the 25th, which is every year, and predictably so. So that one's dead straightforward. This would require opening up the calendar each and every year and making sure that the key holidays, I guess. And then I suppose you'd if you do it for one, you've got to start doing it for all. So I don't know what that would leave us with as well, if we had this, you know, hodgepodge of different calendars, like the Christian calendar or whatever calendars, just line them all up together and find that there's not so many overlap. I don't know how difficult that would be, but yeah.
It does strengthen his argument, saying like this would even not happen with Christmas, right? So how can it happen twice with this?
Right.
So that's, I think that is a very fair point. Like obviously there is something going on where you just don't consider the Muslim community well enough, right?
Like
that would be my conclusion. It's probably not what's going on, but it is the end result. So I can completely emphasize with their frustration.
It's not a small religion either. It's a major world religion.
Yeah.
And it's one of their two major holidays that they have. So it's,
Okay. We don't often touch on the subject of religion, but that was kind of an interesting one because it collides with, you know, the WordPress community perfectly. So there's the open letter. I will link to it again in the show notes, and it has comments open, so you can go and lend your support to that. But have to see what comes of that. All righty. We'll move on because we're a bit late. So we'll go to, really do we have to deal with this? So Ars Technica, this was just the first place that I saw this news story. It then got picked up by more or less every outlet on the planet that has anything to do with technology or the internet. Backdoor slipped into multiple WordPress plugins in ongoing supply chain attack. So this is the security problem that just is so great, because you know, you infect one package and you've then upon update you've upset everybody who's using that plugin. So I'll just read. Security is not really my strength. So Ars Technica said on the, when was this? This was the 24th. So this story has probably changed a little bit since then. WordPress plugins running on as many as 36,000 websites have been backdoored in a supply chain attack with unknown origins, security researchers said on Monday. I believe it was actually WordFence. So far, 5 plugins are known to be affected in the campaign, which was active as recently as Monday morning. And again, it was WordFence which reported it. Unknown threat actors have added malicious functions to updates available for the plugins on, wait for it, WordPress.org. When installed, the updates automatically create an attacker-controlled administrative account that provides full control over compromised sites. Yay! The updates also add content designed to goose search results. Yay! And so they've described this as poisoning the well. Now, I'm not a security expert, but my intuition here is that you can't point the finger directly at .org. That's not it, right? This is people who got credentials for 5 plugins who were then able to access the .org repository, and basically, rather than going to one website at a time and trying to infect it, you poison the well, you infect the plugin when an automatic update of that plugin is downloaded, or indeed any version of it is downloaded. You've then got yourself into people's websites. Now, there's quite a few people who in social media were saying that they've gone out and they've just, you know, they've checked their repo. If they've got a plugin, they've made sure that nothing weird appears to be in there. They've even gone as far as doing things like resetting their WordPress.org password and putting 2FA on and things like that. But this is just low, you know. If we didn't have to deal with things like this, the world would be a nicer place. But here's the plugins: Social Warfare, Blaze Retail Widget, Wrapper Link Elementor, Contact Form 7 Multi-Step Add-On, not Contact Form 7, Simply Show Hooks. So I'm not that familiar with any of them, in all honesty, and Social Warfare seems to be the big one there with up to 30,000 installs. But, you know, I don't really have any advice other than just if you've got a plugin, just make sure that everything is tickety-boo and as it is. Yeah, that's the story. There's nothing much more.
I want to channel Tim Nash of Keep Calm here. Because I think that's always like security isn't necessarily my thing, but if you maintain a plugin, change your password, pretty good idea, and make sure it's secure would be like the baseline here. But also kudos and props to all the people behind who have been fixing this while we've all been running around like Beaker panicking when we see articles, because the plugin review team working overdrive doing this, the people who are there's so many people in the back room of WordPress that are organizing and supporting us so that we can be safe here. So yeah, there you go. Andrew just kind of flagged that up.
Yeah.
So that is impressive and it's worth kind of saying.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'd forgotten this part of the story. Yeah. So big shout out to the .org contributors who issued a password reset and also worked over 20-hour period to approve updates on plugins over the weekend. Again, thank you. Amazing. Amazing. Cameron says it's up to maybe a dozen plugins by now. And then Courtney adds in, plugins team has post wanting all devs to reset their
and password. Don't just reset to a secure password with two-factor authentication if you can.
Yeah.
So don't just put your cat's favorite name, do like a secure one and do an just be sensible. But if you look at the plugins as well, the ones that are listed there are probably ones that are really good to be backdoors, right? They're little add-ons and all those kind of things.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, apparently I am not an expert. Apparently the action that the malicious actors took is described in this article as not all that sophisticated. So let's hope that that is the end of that and that, you know, that we won't hear too much more about it. Scott Kingsley Clark, Courtney says, at Pods, WordPress plugin developers, make sure you enable release confirmation emails. It require... Oh, interesting. So that requires you to click on a link, Courtney, in an email that you get when you push an update. It sends you some sort of confirmation, which you have to then double check. That's kind of interesting. That's more belt and braces. Mm. So new password, make it long, make it pseudo random noise.
Two-factor authentication
and enable release confirmation emails.
And don't panic.
And don't panic. There you go. Carry a towel.
To make that mandatory, that's to me seems like 2024, like mandatory confirmation email for plugin releases.
Doesn't sound
like a weird idea to me. But
yeah, I think you're right, Bowie. I think
it might mess up some, you know, automated deploy flows for the big guys. But I think this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's interesting. Anyway, I didn't even know that was a thing because I'm not a plugin developer. But there we go. The joys of
being on the internet. If you are named as a developer on a plugin, also reset your password, because a lot of people who are adjacent but just named on repos, they also need to reset their password. So you might be like riding along on a repo to make sure that you're not doing that, like as a tester, a reviewer, all those kind of different things as well. That's an important thing when you're saying like, I don't maintain one, but a lot of people are like credited as well and have access.
And my advice to the people who are responsible for this, stop it. Just stop it, all right? Just go and have a sit down, have a biscuit. You know,
find a hobby.
Do something else. Do something useful. Which is helping people, not this nonsense. So there we go. That's going to fix all of it. okay, right. Very, very quickly, because we are fast running out of time. You mentioned this hallway hangouts, and I failed to do it at the right moment, but I will put that in the show notes, Tammy. Is that all right? We won't dwell on that one, but there it is on the screen, a recent one on the 19th of June. However, this is quite an interesting one. This came to us courtesy of Bowie. I didn't know this was a thing. You snuck this in at the last minute. Welcome to a new era of partnership with Automattic with two T's. Become an Automattic partner and gain access to discounted pricing, commissions on referrals, premier support, and cutting-edge tooling so that you can get most out of the suite of best-in-class products. And then we've got the logos for WordPress.com, Woo, Jetpack, and Pressable, the hosting company. And then join the program. But I don't really know what this is. Have you scraped in a lot of, you know, have you got into it a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, this is also the same, you know, kind of pool we're all fishing in. I think even also, you know, Liquid Web, Michelle, we're all trying to do the best work we can for agencies. So to me, when I saw this and it kind of was released under the radar, what A2 is doing with Corey and what's her name? Sorry, I forgot her name.
Katie.
Katie, sorry, yeah. There's a new renewed interest in really doing something turnkey and appealing to agencies. So that's interesting from the product that I'm building, but also an interesting sign where automatic is going. And I think it's a good sign. Like, I'm positive about this type of initiative because it means that hopefully we will make the lives of agencies easier, and we're going to give them, I think, a bit more attention, because in the end, that is also the backbone of our commercial sustainability as an ecosystem, right? And, you know, it's community and open source, but in the end, if agencies fail to be successful because they're losing their best clients towards, the Squarespaces, the Wixes of this world, to see Automatic making a renewed effort to start an agency program and bigger hosting companies doing agency success teams and new products or existing products doubling down on the success of agencies, that is, I think, very much something that if we don't do that as a WordPress community or as entrepreneurs, however we want to call it, we're going to be in trouble in the long run. That is just really, really important for us to acknowledge. And I think Matt also made, for the first time I've seen at WordCamp Europe, a direct reference to the threat of these big platform builders, page builders, that we have to be careful. If we don't pay attention, we're going to be losing our community, which was super, to me, surprising, almost a bold statement from Matt. And this is another sign that this is happening. And I think that's a good thing. That's why I want to bring it up.
I think this is the kind of thing that I need to ingest a little bit more and cogitate on a bit, and probably see if I can get somebody in on a podcast episode to talk to me about it so I understand what's going on. However, if you are an agency and you are trying to scale, I'll just give you the URL. It's automatic2ts.com/4-agencies. You probably can't see it on the screen particularly well there, but anyway, there it is. And here we go. We've got a join the program button. So I'll dig more into that as the days go on and see if there's something interesting for another week there. Just back to the security story. Cameron says that the release confirmation emails or whatever that is, they have to be manually configured. There is no toggle, apparently. You have to reach out to somebody on the team, at least from what it implies, he said. So maybe that's an extra step that we need to do. I think that's it. We've gone over. I apologize about that, but that was it. That was the super special party edition of Word this Woo-hoo! Week. This week in WordPress, episode number 300. Woohoo! sorry, I didn't. Oh, I fell asleep on the couch, basically, instead of forgot to prepare anything. But it was quite nice having that extra 40 minutes of dozing. So there's my reward. Bowie, I'm so sorry about this. Here comes the slightly humiliating bit. We have to, we don't have to. It's not like anybody's going to tell you off or anything. But at the end, we always raise our hands like this so that I can get a nice piece of album art. Oh, look, you totally complied straight away. That's absolutely perfect. Maybe a little wiggle of the fingers there. Okay.
Jazz hands.
Jazz hands. Oh, I saw this brilliant image this week. It was an alligator in Florida somewhere. And it was, did you see it? It was swimming in a lake. And for some reason, it had its little hands. And they've got like little hands. And both hands were just jutting out the water. And it just looked like it was doing jazz. It really did look like it was
doing jazz. That's evolution I don't want to see.
You can just replace my picture on the album art with that, and it's fine.
The perfect predator for jazz musicians all over the world. That's it. Anyway, we're done. Thank you for joining us, firstly, to the panel. Thank you to Michelle Frechette. Thanks so much. Thanks to Tammy Lister, and thanks to Bowie, Frankemer as well. Really appreciate it. Hope you'll all come back sooner rather than later. And thank you to you, dear audience member. We had lots of comments today, and that was really nice, and I appreciate all of the people giving us their time and attention, you know, at the beginning of the week. Really appreciate it. So on that bombshell, I'll say sayonara, and we'll see you next week. Take care. Bye.